Welcome to Kick-Ass Radio, hosted by Jo Sainsbury, founder of Kick-Ass Women. Join Jo over the next hour as she shares stories and conversations that are both inspiring and empowering. Having spent over 30 years in the corporate sector, Jo Sainsbury kicked off her heels and became a coal train driver working in the rail and mining industry. It has been her goal ever since to empower and support women who are considering a career change into an industry role, making the transition as smooth as possible. Jo is a walking, talking success story of how taking the plunge into industry can open up a world of opportunity. And you can do it too. If you're a woman working in industry or considering a career change, this is the radio station for you. Let's get into this episode of Kick-Ass Radio.
Hey there, Glowgetters. Welcome to the Kick-Ass Radio Show. Am I excited for today's show? You bet your kick-ass I am. What's worse than suffering? Watching those we care about suffer. When a friend or family member is going through a divorce, standing on the sidelines can be frustrating as we struggle with how best to offer our support. All we want to do is take away the pain, to come up with a solution that will make everything better and fast. The problem is we may not always know how, meaning even with the best intentions, we can misstep without even knowing it. Family breakups, separation and divorce are highly stressful, and people often grieve over the loss of their former relationships and lives. However, the intense early feelings ease with time, and most separated or divorced couples go on to lead fulfilling and happy lives. Now, after a divorce, many people can be left feeling isolated, which for many of us means it's even more of a challenge to make those important future decisions. The despair and overwhelming emotions that you feel have been compared to those after the death of a loved one. Divorce and separation are also major events in a child's life, but with the right communication and support, most children will be able to manage. When you have separated or divorced, you will probably have a very strong emotional and physical response at first. Now, everyone and every situation is different, so you will have your own response, especially if you've experienced domestic violence or ongoing conflict in your relationship. Even if your partner was abusive, you may feel sad, angry, and conflicted at the ending of the relationship. That is why today on the show, we are going to gain some valuable advice. Today's guest is Leanne Kanzler, who is a psychologist and coach. Writer for online publication, Great Health Guide, has been featured in the Feminescence magazine. She is a business owner, wife, and mother of two amazing young adults. Now, Leanne has worked her ass off to get to where she is now, growing from an anxious child who felt invisible to being in a controlling marriage and finally to someone who actually loves who she is and the life that she is creating for herself. Now, this wasn't easy. The journey started when Leanne was in her mid-30s. Since then, she has spent an incredible amount of time and money on personal development, but every second and cent was worth it. Without it, she knows she would still be stuck feeling a victim in her own life. Today, she is passionate about helping men and women to reclaim their life after a breakup. So what this means is to take back your own sense of who you are and love yourself again, empower you to make great decisions for yourself, and then when you are ready, to move on. You are listening to the Kick-Ass Radio Show Kickstart, where we talk about all things women working in non-traditional roles in male-dominated industries, and I tell you how it is. I'm your host, Jo Sainsbury, the Glowgetter. I hope we can keep you in good company over the coming hour. Now, a huge shout out to all the women working out on track and on site today. Stay safe and have a great day or night shift. And it might also be a good time for a trigger warning that today's show's content may upset some people or may have them feeling a little bit down and out. Please be mindful of that. And also the show may and does contain some adult language. Let's get into it. Hello, Leanne, and welcome to Kick-Ass Radio. Firstly, thank you for coming on the show and for giving us some of your valuable time and for spending that with us today. And I know you're super busy, but I also know that we're all going to gain so much valuable information off you today. So we're eager to hear what you have to say. So welcome. Yeah.
Thank you, Jo. I'm excited to be here. This is my first time on radio. Yay.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. Well, we welcome you with open arms. Now, to kickstart it off, Leanne, tell us a little bit about yourself and your career background and how you arrived at doing what you do now.
Yeah, well, it's been an interesting journey. I actually didn't start university until I was 29. After I had actually 30, sorry, I had my son. He was just 1 year old. So for all you new mums out there, don't think it's too late. And I went to uni to do my psychology degree. Much to my husband's upset, he did not want me to go to uni. He wanted me to fix myself and didn't understand that fixing myself meant getting an education and living the life that I wanted to live. A few years after I realised that the relationship with my husband was never going to get any better, and we parted ways. And it was after then that I realised that there are a lot of people in this world, men in the dating scene, who are who have not worked on themselves, who have not done anything at all, who are angry and traumatized and not over their exes and all sorts of things. And fortunately, I had the skill to see that and not take it personally. But a lot of my female friends who are in a similar position, they didn't, and they took it very personally. And I could see that there was a lot of wounds out there. And I thought, well, you know what? What better way to help people than to start coaching in this space? And I decided to coach men at the beginning because I actually really enjoy working with men when they make the decision to work on themselves. It's amazing. And I thought, if I could help men be better people, then I'm actually also helping women and helping children as well. And I had some lovely success with that. But then I came across a magazine called Feminescence, and I was invited to be a part of that, which is a women's magazine. And I thought, well, if I'm going to be in a women's magazine, I should probably be doing something with women as well. And as soon as I made that decision, I ended up getting two female clients, and I actually love working with women. It's such a completely different energy. So that's how I came to where I am now.
And I mean, I know it hasn't been easy for you to rediscover yourself, and I commend you for it. And it's such a bloody fantastic journey of success where you've come to now. And I do believe, as you said, it's only in the last few years in your 40s that you finally knew you were on the right path. So helping people reconnect back to who they truly are has always been a passion of yours. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And funnily enough, my psychology practice is called Reconnect as well. but I think because I was so disconnected from myself as a kid, I was very anxious about everything. But back then it wasn't common. So, you know, my poor parents had no idea what was wrong with me. And I went from doctor to doctor for stomach aches and chest pains and all of this. And I was just told there was nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong. It was only when I went to university that I realized, oh my God, I had anxiety as a child. This is what the problem was. It wasn't a physical condition, it was a mental condition. Yeah. And so starting then to reconnect back to me, understanding that I didn't have to be shying away from the world, that the world wasn't actually such a scary place once I figured it out, how to deal, how to manage with people. I'm quite a bit of an empath, so I can feel what other people feel sometimes, and that can be a bit overwhelming in big crowds, but now I've learned how to manage that as well. So, yeah, it's been a massive journey, and being able to help other people through their stuff is a gift.
And definitely is. And like you said, a lot of kids did go or do go through that anxiety, and it isn't diagnosed or recognised. So we need to try and identify those triggers a lot quicker and make that known to the individual that, you know, this is what's going on and this is how we can help and get them in a better frame of mind. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, from your own journey then, what instigated or how did you get started as a divorce coach? And tell us, what actually does a divorce coach do? What is it?
Yes, okay. So the starting point started when I always had this feeling that there was something missing inside of me. And so I just kept on doing course after course after course. And then I discovered coaching, which I absolutely love. It's quite different to psychology, but it's great mixed in together. And as a coach, you're always told you have to choose a niche. You know, what are you going to focus on? And it took me a little while to then realize that, you know what, I really want to help people after their separation, because there is so much grief, so much trauma, so much confusion, and not a lot of people out there who you can really talk to about this sort of thing. You know, I've got the experience in terms of I've been there, done that. I also have my psychology knowledge and all the clients I've already seen in that space, and a passion to help people. So that's how I ended up getting into this area of life. I guess, what is a divorce coach? Well, there are different ways of being a divorce coach, but what I do is really help people with their emotions. So I'm not someone who will tell you all about the legal stuff. That's what your legal team does. I'm not a financial advisor. That's what your financial advisor does. But I will help you navigate the emotions, because there is so much going on. And getting a perspective that isn't your family or friends can help you see a lot clearer. Definitely. So if you imagine that, you know, you're in this kind of bubble, and your family or friends are in there as well, and I am up here looking down on that going, oh, hang on a minute, you're making your decisions based on emotion, and that's going to get you into trouble later on. And helping people step out of that can be extremely valuable. Mm. Yeah. And I also do a lot of quite deep inner work, where I will help people release some of their past traumas or their anger or sadness or grief or whatever that might be. And then they see things very, very clearly, because they're not operating from a inner child wound or resentment or whatever it is. When they let go of that, they can then make decisions that are good for them. And so a divorce coach really is about helping the individual to support them through the process of the divorce, to support them with decisions around childcare and all that sort of stuff, and to ensure, in some cases, to save lives, because people can become suicidal during that process as well. You know, there's so much loss, to give them a bit of a sense of light at the end of the tunnel.
And that's right. And like divorce, it's very hard. You can rise above it. You gain, as you said, gain clarity, stand in your own confidence, and make decisions from a better place. And you can stay a little bit more elevated while going through the divorce. And I see you want to pass that message on to not only women, but to men as well, transitioning. And it's clear that you really help these divorcing men and women, that they are all going to get to the other side of divorce. But the question is how they're going to do it, isn't it? How long is it going to take? So for some people, it's weeks or months. For some people, it's years. And so engaging the assistance of yourself as a divorce coach, it's about helping them shorten the duration of divorce. And it can be a game changer, can't it, like for men and for women, because it just evokes so many thoughts, feelings and emotions. And divorce is the end of something, but it's not the end of everything. So you have to look for that silver lining and the opportunity to make a new beginning. And hey, what an opportunity to have a new, fresh beginning. So there is lots of positives that they need to be able to identify and work towards. They're like goals, aren't they?
Absolutely. And, you know, to get clear can shorten the divorce process by years, really, because when you really know what you want and why you want it, if you want something just to annoy your ex or, you know, because you're feeling vindictive or whatever it might be, that's just hurting you. You know, it's like that saying, resentment. Resentment is swallowing poison and expecting your enemies to die. A divorce can be very much like that. You're going to do whatever it takes to make them pay for what they did to you. But in the process, you've got all this angry energy swirling around in you and bitterness, and that's actually making you physically ill. So
that's right.
To help someone get past that anger and resentment is a beautiful thing.
And as we said, like to get to like to expel all that animosity and bad feeling, you need to. And then, as I said, you've got a clear mind then to work out how your journey goes from there. So yeah, that's a great thing. Expelling all that bad feeling, and it's no good for your own health, your mental health, or your health and well-being and wellness. So in your experience, what do you think the most common cause of divorce is?
Well, in a very big nutshell, big net, it's communication. Because people are afraid to speak their truth, or they don't know how to speak their truth in a kind way. They don't know how to ask for what they need. They don't know how to ask questions. They don't know how to say, I'm feeling hurt by you, so instead they'll hurt back. They don't know how to say, I'm not happy with our sex life, or, you know, I'm scared, I'm bored, I'm whatever. And then they'll do things like create fights, have affairs, withdraw, go silent, pretend. You know, it's really, really sad when I hear someone say, my husband told me that he hasn't loved me for 2 years. You know, there's no hope then. 2 years is way too long. If he had said to her 2 years ago, you know, babe, there's something wrong, I'm not feeling it anymore, then there's hope that you could have worked on that. But 2 years is way too long. And it's so hurtful to hang on to somebody for that long.
That's
incredibly hurtful. And, you know, if they had just said something, just spoken their truth, 2 years worth of heartache could have been resolved. They may have been able to save the relationship, but by then it's way too late. Because, you know, I see a lot of couples as well, and often somebody has checked out by the time they come to couple counselling, and that's why couple counselling doesn't work.
Yeah.
If they wait way too long to say there's a problem.
And that's the saddest thing, when you hear about stories like that, and, you know, they've been just going through the motions for so long, and then that has, you know, such a ripple effect on the ongoing process. Then when it comes to a head, it's it's definitely something that we all need to have better communication, and don't be afraid to say what you feel, because it all comes
down
to trust. You know, you need that trust, you need that communication. It needs to be open and honest. It is cruel to be kind sometimes. So hey, if you're not pleasuring me the way I like it, how can we fix that?
Yeah, for sure. And on the flip side of that, if you notice that your partner is changing, withdrawing or something, say something about it, and perhaps be a little relentless about it. Like, you know, I can see something's wrong and you need to tell me, rather than just accepting, no, nothing's wrong, everything's okay.
And
I can tell you that when I first started dating my now second husband, right at the beginning, I had a feeling that he was going to break up with me, and I said to him, are you thinking of breaking up with me? And he said, yeah. And the reason he said yes was because he was scared. You know, it was too good, and he didn't know how to handle this relationship that we were forming. It was overwhelming. But if I hadn't said that, we probably wouldn't be sitting here now.
And isn't that sad? Like, and I know it's not only men, but men more so have this fear of showing emotion and being open and vulnerable. And like being vulnerable, that's the best way to be, because it's so honest and where you find your true self. You know, you have to be vulnerable. You have to show up, and you have to admit all of these vulnerabilities and then work through them. So, yes, that was a good pickup from you there.
It was. And vulnerability can be seen as a weakness, but it is an absolute strength. It takes an enormous amount of courage to face up to something that you're scared about.
Definitely. So a key contribution as a coach, being, you know, being part of this collaborative team, is to provide emotional guidance and support throughout the process. So we're saying, you know, you're there to steady the waters, in contrast to what actually occurs in a typical divorce. So I know that you're offering, you know, the most support, respect, and a framework for, as we said, effective communication and problem solving. So do you get, have you ever had some clients that have, are going through this and they like, they mediate and get back together?
I haven't actually, because I generally just speak to the one client. I don't speak to both of them. And it's usually well into the separation. Sometimes it can be, you know, someone is just moving out, but they're done. Like they're done, they're ready, they're out of here. I think people who think there might be hope of getting back together, they might go to a psychologist, for instance, or maybe some relationship counselling. But when they're ready, that's when they often come to me. Or when they know the other person is ready and they have no hope, that's when they come to me and they say things like, oh, I'm not coping. My partner, my ex has already moved on. I'm still stuck. I need help. So, yeah. It would be interesting to see what would happen. I mean, I would wholeheartedly facilitate that if both of them wanted to get back together. I would definitely help that.
And it'd be a great experience to go through, like, you know, as you're saying, watching the framework go through its process and where the communication opens and they identify each other's, you know, weaknesses and strengths. And it's like, well, hey, let's give this another shot. And it turns out, you know, so much better. So there's hope. There is hope.
There is hope. And that would be amazing if both people did the work, but usually it's just one person. So that's it. A lot harder. Yeah. And
so in a typical divorce, the last thing on people's minds is usually the importance of taking care of the mental health. So what's your take on this?
I think it needs to be the first thing because if you're not clear in your mind, you're more likely to make mistakes. And those mistakes can cost you hundreds of thousands of dollars, really. It could cost you a good a parenting agreement. It could cost you your children. In that, you know, you do silly things, you know, drugs or alcohol to try and cope, and then the children are taken from you and given to your ex-partner or grandparent, whatever it might be. Seen that before. Because so much is going on, there is a high risk, particularly for men in this time, to contemplate or attempt suicide or to actually suicide. People lose their friends because friends take sides. They lose family because family will go back to their respective person. They can lose jobs because of the stress, and no one needs to lose a job when you're going through a divorce. And, there's been a few clients I've had who have been on the brink of losing their job because they can't think, they can't focus, they're taking too many days off work. Their boss has called them in for a review and said you need to step up or step out. And then we started working on some strategies to help them cope. And one in particular, I remember, ended up getting a promotion within a few weeks. So, and he said, oh, my God, you know, you basically saved my life because now I'm back exercising, I'm eating well, I'm thinking about myself and moving forward instead of the past, I'm clearer. And it's been a noticeable change at work.
And I know, a lot of organisations and businesses need to consider this as well. And it is coming about slowly, you know. A lot of focus is on mental health, but a lot of focus, I've been talking the last couple of weeks to a couple of guests about women are going through menopause and, you know, how they deal with that at work. So it's the same thing. Mm. If you're going through a tough time in your marriage, and you're going to work, dreading going to work, you need to speak up. You need to let your employer know there is things going on in your life so they can actually help you, that you're not, you know, sabotaging yourself at work and risking your employment. And that's right. You need your job. You need that security, that financial security, particularly when you're going through a time like this. So
absolutely.
Yeah, so there's a lot, a bit more work to be done there with businesses and organisations acknowledging that kind of assistance as well. But yeah, mental health is such a big trigger for so many unnecessary acts, and particularly, you know, taking of lives. It's if everyone could just speak up a bit more openly and quicker before they get to that sad point. It's a very very sad thing to see, and especially if you see it within, you know, your family or your friends. So yeah, definitely speaking up about it and talking about it is a major help.
Yeah, for sure. Because when you talk about it, you get support. Mm. And sometimes people just need someone to say to them, you can get through this, or I am here for you. And just remind them that there is more to them than that relationship or that house or whatever else it is that they're mourning the loss of.
Yeah.
And someone to remind them that in 6 months' time they're going to be in a completely different space, and they don't know what that space looks like. It could be the best thing that ever happened to them, and I've seen that a lot, actually.
Yeah, and I know I've in my notes there, I know you say that you need, you know, you show people that there is an opportunity of immense growth if we allow it. So that's right. Mm. You know, you've just got to open those wounds, deal with them, and see the opportunity ahead from healing from them. So
absolutely.
Yeah. But mental health, it's such a chronic, it is like a chronic illness, and more so in the last 18 months now with our pandemic crises.
Yeah, a lot of people are struggling with depression and anxiety, which obviously affects relationships and affects the way we do everything, really, actually, you know, from the time we get out of bed to how we cook, what we feed ourselves, all of that sort of thing. And it is important to acknowledge that, okay, I'm not dealing so well right now, and there's no shame. There shouldn't be any shame in asking for help. You know, we back in the old days, we used to live as a community and everyone knew everything, and now everyone's so isolated and pretending that everything's great on social media. But the reality is that isolation is making us unwell.
Definitely. All right, we're just going to take a little break and we'll hear from one of our show sponsors and we'll be back shortly.
Hey, Glowgetters, have you heard about Kick-Ass Women? Founded by Jo Sainsbury, Kick-Ass Women is dedicated to empowering and supporting women who are considering a career change into an industry role. Visit our brand new website at www.kickasswomen.com.au or follow Kick-Ass Women on Facebook and LinkedIn today to keep up to date with all things Kick-Ass Women and the incredible opportunities and content we have for you. See you there, Glowgetters.
Thanks for tuning back in, and we're chatting to Leanne Kanzler, who is a divorce coach, a relationship coach from Reconnect. Reconnect?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. So, thanks for tuning back in, Leanne. So how important is the role of, we've probably just talked about this, of a mental health coach in the divorce situation? I think we might have just covered that. So, but
yeah,
if you want to retouch on that again.
Recap.
Yeah.
It's important because it can help you to make great decisions. And great decisions are invaluable in the time of divorce. It can not just help you with your divorce, but it can help you, you know, in choosing where do I live. Not that I would tell you that, but I can just help you tease out, you know, where you're going to live, jobs you're going to do, what kind of, some people even work through with me, God, I don't know what furniture to take out of my house, you know, and we just kind of work through what's important to you, what's not. So there's so many little tiny things, and setting goals for the future as well, and it's having those goals that really make a big difference. And a lot of people feel very trapped that there's so much happening in here that they can't even pretend to look forward. Mm-hmm. And so I can help them with that, and I can help them actually have a whole sheet of, okay, this is a bit of a tick box for you. Where do you want to go with this? This is what you need to look at. And they take their time and go through it, and we can create some little tiny stepping stones to help them get to where they want to be. And I guess help them tease out, well, what exactly do I want? Because, you know, yeah, when you've been with someone for a long time and suddenly everything's different, what I wanted is completely changed now, and I don't know how to reconcile that. And that's where talking to a someone who's not emotionally attached to you can make a big difference.
Definitely. So in your work, you talk about how you worked on yourself and you know where you went wrong. So can you tell us a little bit about how you arrived at that realization? Like, what did it take for you to actually sit back and say, hey, this is what I've got to do?
Yes, well, it took a lot, Joe. I've done a lot of workshops. I've done a lot of courses. I've cried. I've punched pillows. I've done breath work, sand plays, therapy, all that sort of stuff, coaching. And a lot of that was done in a way that when I did the courses to learn how to do the processes as well. So it's all very hands-on, which has been magnificent. And what I've really learned is that I took with me that scared little girl into my marriage, because I was only 20 when I got married the first time and he was only 22. And we both had our stuff. And the quieter I got, the more pleasing I thought I had to be, because I wanted to please him and to make him happy and for him to love me and all of that stuff. The harder I tried, the worse it became. And I only realized that a few years after our divorce, because it started to all fall into place, and where I noticed, oh my God, we were playing this kind of game where I'd try harder and then he'd kind of push back. And the harder I tried, the more he wanted. So he became more controlling, more loud, more judgmental. And I kept on trying to appease that instead of stopping him and shutting him down and saying no. You know, I had no boundaries around what I wanted or who I was, because I really had no clue. I went straight from mummy and daddy to husband.
Yeah.
And
and
I just didn't have a strong, I wasn't strong-minded to make wise decisions for myself. I just kind of fell into this trap of thinking what he wanted was okay, until I realized I actually got to the point where I was fantasizing about driving in front of a truck or taking the kids and running away from home. And that's when I realized that, oh God, this is not good. I need to make changes here.
And like everyone and every situation is different. So you'll have your own response, especially if you've experienced domestic violence or ongoing conflict in their relationships. So even if your partner was abusive, or you may feel sad, angry and conflicted at the ending of the relationship, the earlier the emotions are dealt with, the better, you know, the better the coping mechanism, isn't it? Like,
absolutely. Because all of that leads to a trauma response, and that trauma is held within the body. And you are very, very likely to take that trauma with you to your next relationship. And that can look like a lack of confidence in yourself, a lack of trust in the other person, fear, anxiety, depression, or wanting the other person to rescue you. So there's an imbalance of power within the relationship, just not knowing who you are. And it can also lead to you deciding, I'm never going to be in another relationship again. And so then you miss out on the beautiful parts of the relationship. Yeah.
And so you need to make some tough but focused decisions on how to deal with your breakup, your separation and your divorce. And you need to make choices that give control over your life. And these choices might be accepting that it's over, not being a victim, and being positive for your children and your other family members, and learning new skills and making plans for a new future. As we said, a new beginning. What a great opportunity that is. And to learn, you know, we all learn from our life lessons, and that's the best way to learn. So, yeah, make plans for a future that can be so much better for you. And
that's right.
People will want to help you, so don't be afraid to ask. You know, that's the biggest thing. We're all so afraid to ask for help, and that comes back to our vulnerability, doesn't it? Like, we've got to
put absolutely.
We've got to put.
And sometimes it's also rejecting help. You know. I have a girlfriend who recently went through a separation, and I've offered her help and she won't accept it. You know, and that could mean not answering the phone call or saying, no, I'm not coming over, or whatever it is. And so she knows. I mean, she's flat out said to me, I know you're there to help. I know you're available, I just you know, can't right now. Okay, I can't be your coach, so I'm just going to be your friend and wait for you to be ready.
Yeah. So divorce coaching, it's still a new concept to many people in the divorce world, and not everyone understands. So what value, and we've probably said a lot of this anyway, but what value does the divorce coach add to an individual? And I think we have covered this, but yeah.
Well, I'll go in a little bit deeper with that. It's really about helping you to connect back to yourself, because when you leave a long-term relationship, you do leave a piece of you behind, and it's about helping you connect back to that. And you mentioned before about not being a victim. So it's about empowering you to love yourself again, love yourself enough to look after your body. A lot of people turn to alcohol or some sort of drugs to help them cope. They think that's what they need. And unfortunately, in Australia, there is a very acceptable culture of having a glass of wine, which can easily end up to being a bottle of wine. Yeah, and that's not healthy. That's if you're having a bottle of wine a day, that's a functioning alcoholic.
That's the condition, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, and that's really not helpful. So it's really about giving you some strategies to deal with the everyday stuff that goes on. And, you know, I have a course, and the course kind of goes step by step through different aspects of your separation and your life. We go all the way back to previous relationships and childhood and look at, well, how did I get here? And the purpose of that is to prevent you from getting there again. You know, you want to be able to move on and be happy with your life and feel safe with who you are and your own choices. And that's what it's all about.
And I know that's what we're saying, like self-care during the divorce, it's very important. And that is a key component of your work as a coach. So that's, yeah, just a small example of the tangibility that a coach can help with. And so, yeah, if you're not, yeah, not taking care of yourself through such a traumatic experience, well, it will go south quicker than what, you know.
That's right. And self-care is not having a few glasses of wine after work. That's not self-care.
No, it's definitely not. So you just talked about your program. So tell us a bit more about that. So what does your program consist of, and what's the aim? What's your aim with it?
It's called Life Reinvented, Breakup to Breakthrough. So it's about having those breakthroughs and learning about yourself and even your ex. It starts off with some strategies to deal with your stress and what's going on, learning about anger and resentment, anxiety, depression, that sort of thing. Then we look at setting some goals for yourself. What changes do you need to make? Do you need to, you know, unsubscribe from 20 different things that you have joint accounts in, because a lot of people get completely overwhelmed with that stuff, but it can cost you a lot of money. Now, I had one guy who was worked out it was costing him like $1,200 a month in a whole heap of different things that he had, and he needed that money now.
That's right.
He got rid of all of his stuff. Then we look at deeper stuff like patterns, relationship patterns, and loving yourself again. And it finishes off with the very last module. There's 9 modules. The 9th module is like a bonus module, because not everyone's ready for it, but it is available to them when they are ready. And that is about dating and moving on. Yeah. And we look at what is it that you want in a new partner, a bit of online dating, some tips and advice around that as well, keeping yourself safe, because just because now we're mature people, men and women, doesn't mean that we're not prone to being scammed or assaulted even. So it is important to look after yourself. I think kind of get the feeling that the older we get, the less we think about that, and younger people may feel like they're more in trouble. I don't know. It's just a feeling that I've had at the moment. But it's important to look after yourself and all of that as well. And I have 2 courses, I guess, one for men, one for women. And each of the modules also has information in there for parents, which is separate, so that if you don't have kids, you just ignore that part. But if you do have kids, there's information in every single module about, you know, how to be a better parent, how to look after your kids through this process, how to look after your kids when you move on and you start dating again. So many different things, and it's very, very important for parents to be mindful what they're doing that can either alienate their children or protect their children.
And isn't that a very emotional side on, you know, how to move forward and looking at what the journey ahead holds? And that's, and like, you obviously provide very good practical advice if you've got children and how to deal with that situation, because how you deal with it is the mirror to what your kids see, isn't it? Like, so if you're bitter and twisted and hating on your partner, that hurts the kids. But then again, that, you know, creates, it plants a seed for the kids to be bitter and twisted about that, you know, that parent as well, doesn't it? So that, you don't need that. And the kids don't need that emotional stress.
No.
So, yeah.
I read a quote once that said, love your children more than you hate your ex. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of people do not love their children more than they hate their ex, and they use their children
against
them. And it breaks my heart, and I will always be very strong about that, because I'm very passionate about putting those kids first.
Yep, and that's exactly right. And, yeah, as we said, everyone experiences different things, but, yeah, being looking after yourself and working through those emotions will be so much better to see you. For your kids to see you working through that side as well, and be open and honest with the kids. Like, talk to the kids and say, well, this is what we're going through, this is how we're dealing with it, and, you know, make them a part of the whole process. And that, you know,
Well, sure.
That's my
point. You have to be age appropriate, of course.
That's right.
You know, because I can tell you, Joe, that pretty much every kid, doesn't matter how old they are, even if they're in their 20s, would prefer their parents to be together.
Yeah, that's right.
And even kids who have seen abuse, they want their mum and dad to be together. Sometimes they know it's better that they're not together, but deep in their heart, they want mum and dad to be together.
Well, that's the family.
That's right.
That's the family concept.
Other kids' parents are together. Why aren't you?
Yeah.
But, you know, when I see parents alienating their children for no good reason. I've heard things like, oh, he had an affair, so he can go and get stuffed. I'm not going to let him see the children. You're punishing the children by things like that. And it drives me crazy to hear things like that.
Yeah,
because it's extremely important. Yeah, it's very important that kids see both parents. Unless there's physical danger, there is no reason for those, or emotional danger, sorry. There's no reason for those children not to see mum and dad.
So is there anything in particular you feel you learnt from your own divorce that you do pass on to your clients?
Yes, for sure. One of the biggest lessons I learnt, and it created a huge shift in me and in him and our relationship as co-parents, was it's not my responsibility to please my ex. And that pleasing in me continued for many years after. And I would do things like try to make it easier for him with the drop-offs or the pickups, the times, Christmases, birthdays, all that. And I would go out of my way to try and make it better. Every single time it got messed up. If I changed the time to say, oh, do you want to come earlier? Or do you want to meet later? Or do you want to meet here? Whenever I did that, something went wrong. Eventually, it clicked in me and I thought, what am I doing? Unless he asks, unless he asks for a change, don't create it. Don't make it happen. Don't make it easier. Just go with the flow. Trust in my own self. Have some better boundaries, for goodness sakes. I had no boundaries. But once I did that, everything got better. We argued less. There was no more indecisions or you know, confusion. It was just, this is what's happening and this is great. And that was it. I didn't have to think anymore about how to make things better. And it was better for the kids too, because they saw that the energy between us was different and we weren't hating on each other. You know, we didn't have to do much anymore after that. It was just we got organized and we stuck to it. I stuck to it, and then things got better. Other things I learned is to be really clear about what you actually want for yourself.
I think coming back to that when you were saying you started wanting to please him again, it's like you become quite codependent on your partner and you lose your own identity, isn't it? It's that's where that comes into it. So, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And when you've been with someone for a long time, I was with him for 20 years, it's very easy to lose your identity and not even know what that looks like. Like, who am I? What do I want? And I guess that's why it's really valuable to talk to someone who's outside of your family, because your family see you like this, your friends see you like this, your ex sees you like this, and you see yourself as, ooh, I don't know, I'm a bit of this, I'm a bit of that, a bit of this. And then talking to someone who is not a part of that circle can help you see yourself as you, because there's no judgment or preconceived ideas as to who you should be.
So it's about stripping back that codependence, working out who you are, what your core values are, and what you enjoy doing. Then together, you know, with the likes of the help and assistance from you, you rebuild your future and create a life that would be so exciting to live, because you know who you are and what you want out of life, and you're going to go after it and get it now. You've got that second opportunity.
Yeah, it's a huge opportunity. You know, I often talk to people about, okay, so before you met, what did you like to do? And, you know, I've had people say, oh, I used to love dancing, but my partner doesn't like to dance, or my partner was jealous when I went to the dance lessons, so I gave up. Right. Oh, I'm going to go dance again. Yes. I used to love playing baseball or some other kind of sport, but my partner used to get the shits with me for doing that because it took up the whole Saturday and I had such great friends. I'm going to reconnect with those people. I'm going to start again. And it's about learning that you don't have to give up on yourself and the things that you love to make your partner happy, because guess what? It didn't work. Now you're divorced.
That's right.
And, putting yourself a bit higher on the priority or list of priorities and learning how to discuss that is really important.
So, yeah, building on your confidence, being sure who you are and what you want, and build your self-esteem back up, because, the loss of self-confidence in that period of, you know, you've got loneliness, you've got rejection, you need to build all your self-confidence up and know that you are worthy and you can step out and go forward and trek another journey. So what's a key piece of advice that you would offer people who are at the beginning stages of a divorce and finding it difficult to come to terms or deal with?
Go slow. Sometimes people want to jump into online dating or something to
mask
them. Avoid. Good word there. Or they expect things to be really fast and, oh, I'm still stuck in this hurt, I'm still stuck here. That's okay. Yeah. You know, you've been with this person for a long time. It's going to take a while to grieve that loss. So give yourself permission to do that, to cry, to talk about it, to not mask it with alcohol or drugs, because that will just prolong it. Your body will need to process that emotion regardless of what you do. So it's actually better to just cry, like just have a good cry. Doesn't matter if you're crying solidly for half an hour, just allow that to happen, to process that emotion and to go slow. And if you're really struggling, reach out for help. You know, there are, in Australia, there's Medicare that can give you some support to see a psychologist. There are lots of coaches around who help with all sorts of different things. I don't know if you have guys who listen in as well, but there are male coaches at male sites as well. There is literally a lot of people out there who can help. And if you're really struggling, there are things like Lifeline, Men's Helpline. If your kids are struggling or if you're under 25, there's Kids Helpline.
Yep.
You know, there's so many options for help. And a lot of people are afraid or they don't know how to find it. So Google can be your friend. Your GP can be your friend. Asking your friends for referrals. There's lots of ways. So you don't have to go through this alone and go slow. That's my two biggest bits of advice there.
And I'll back that up. That's what I'd say. Take it one day at a time. I think the temptation at the beginning that there is such a strong feeling of being overwhelmed and you're standing at the bottom of a huge mountain, you're looking up to the top thinking, wow, I've got to get all the way up to the top there. So it's a very difficult thing to do. So, make sure you're around people who make you feel better about yourself and ask for help. You know, get the advice you need and don't try to answer all the questions in your head yourself. You know, you need to get it out, ask the questions, get the answers. And if it's an answer you don't like, well, go and ask, you know, get some more advice and take on board.
Journaling can be really very beneficial too. Just writing things out, helping you find some clarity, that can be great.
Definitely. I love journaling myself. So tell us about the latest project you've just completed. Now, I know you've recently recorded a TED Talk. So can you let us in on the subject and why this was your choice and what it's meant for you to do a TED Talk?
Yes. About 12 months ago, I was away with some girls and I woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning and I'm not a morning person, so this was a big deal. And I wrote about 6 pages of a potential TED Talk. And then I was introduced to a guy in Ireland. He does TEDx, so that's a recorded TED talk. And I got to bring my dream to life. And the talk is called The Time Is Now to Talk to Men. And it's about men's mental health and looking at, I guess, statistics. There are very shocking statistics around suicide around the world, and in many Western countries, it's 75% of suicides are men, and 25% are women. So that says a lot, right?
It does.
We all know men. We all love men. We have sons, brothers, fathers, cousins, you know, friends, colleagues, and so chances are that we know of or have heard of a guy who has taken his own life. And these statistics I find horrendous, and because it affects so many people. You know, one life taken, a suicide is very different to a death by some other means, because it means this person has given up and we weren't able to help them. That one life can lead to a flow-on effect of more suicides, more grief. You know, it's this huge ripple effect in society. And I think men need the opportunity to know that it's okay to talk, it's okay to ask for help. And women need to understand how to do that, how to say, okay, I see you. A lot of women don't. They think they do, but they don't.
It's about being an active listener. So sit there and listen, don't speak. And then once that person has finished, then, you know, take the time to speak and offer how you can help. Yeah. But you need to be an active listener. And, like, I really love TED Talks, but I'm biased about that. And I love them because they're succinct and, you know, they open multiple windows, and the length of the TED Talk is perfect because it's not too long and you don't get bored. Yeah. And it's not too short, and it doesn't provide you, you know, any satisfaction. But I usually enjoy TED Talks because of the engaging style of the speakers and how they present. And each speaker has a different style. So we'll be looking out for that. And how long before it's
hopefully over? Next week or two.
Yeah,
a couple of weeks, I hope. Takes them a little while. Mine only goes to 12 minutes, so that's pretty cool. Yeah.
Oh, no, it's excellent. So congratulations. So, yeah, definitely we'll be looking forward to listening to that. So lastly, Leanne, do you have any special offers that you'd like to share with the listeners?
Yes. I have decided that I'd like to do a group coaching program where the participants or the clients can do the whole nine modules, and I will support them with some group sessions as well. The beauty of a group is that people can come together and meet each other, learn from each other, get value from each other. And for your kick-ass listeners, I would love to ask them to contact me. Just put in the title of the email, kick-ass, and we will have a chat about that. And depending on how many people are interested, I'm willing to either do it all men or all women, or we can do it a mixed group. So it's really, a mixed groups can be great because men and women learn so much from each other.
And isn't it funny when you're talking about a group, at first it's a little bit intimidating when you get in that group, but how everyone ends up just spilling their guts to a total stranger. Oh, yeah. They feel more comfortable spilling their guts and having big open heart to hearts to strangers than what they do with, you know, their family and their friends and that. It's and you know, how liberating is that? So it's a great offer. Yeah. So we'll put those details up in the show notes. So thanks, Leanne. It's been a great conversation and one that sometimes it isn't entered into quite so liberally. So we thank you for wanting to discuss and putting that topic out there. We'll put your links up in the show notes and the offer for anyone wanting to reach out to Leanne. We'll put Leanne's, as we said, links up on the show notes. Leanne, thank you very much for joining us on Kick-Ass Radio today. Take care and stay safe, and we look forward to catching up with you next year to find out what you've been doing and how that TED Talk got on. So, but we'll be looking out to listen in on that. So congratulations and thanks again. And we'll catch up with you next year.
Wonderful. Thanks, Joe. It's been great.
Thank you. Well, that's it, guys. I do hope you enjoyed our show and our guest, Leanne Kanzler, relationship coach. A very big special thank you to Leanne for sharing so much invaluable information with us. And I hope you've all found the information inspiring, and it gives you something to think about, particularly if you're going through these kind of events in your life. Divorce can involve so many emotions and details that often you forget to take care of someone very important, yourself. While therapy is recommended for anyone ending a marriage, not everyone has the time or the money, but don't despair. You can find divorce support coaches such as Leanne and resource groups online. A divorce coach can give you the chance to openly talk about your feelings with another woman who has experienced firsthand and gone through the same thing. Even if you've never participated in a coaching scenario or a peer support group, you will find that it can help you through a difficult time. So online forums also give you the chance to discuss anonymously and privately the process of starting a new chapter in your life. As always, I really appreciate you guys giving me your time to listen to this radio show. You can find more information on this episode and Leanne in the show notes or on my social media pages, or visit my website, www.kickasswomen.com.au. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast and to get the latest episodes sent directly to you. Well, that's it. That's all for today's show. Thanks for your company and for listening to Kick-Ass Radio. It's not goodbye, but see you later. Stay safe and keep well. Stay in touch. Poz comes. Go on, get your glow on. Become a glow-getter.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Kick-Ass Radio, where we kick goals and deliver empowering conversations for women. Want to hear more from Kick-Ass Women and Joe Sainsbury? Visit the Kick-Ass Women website or follow Kick-Ass Women on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. See you on the next episode of Kick-Ass Radio.